Hi everyone, my name is Jackie A. I'm qualifying today from Connecticut. You're going to see a co-host over here, my dog. If you see me go off camera, it's because she's jumping around and will distract everybody. I'm going to start off a little bit about bringing my higher power in. And normally I would do this kneeling, but you all are on top of my feet right now. So we're going to stay like that. So I'm going to say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to ask my higher power, my fellows that came before me, the fellows that will come after me, and the higher power that surrounds me to please channel the words that I need to say for this time, and let me get out of self. So with that, I am excited that to be at this meeting. I was asked here by one of my closest OA sisters. And I would not have known her before this program. I wouldn't have connected to her. I would have been intimidated by her. And instead, I can't tell you how much I absolutely love this person beyond belief. So, before I came to program, the first time, I'm 38 years old, and the first time I ever came to a 12-step program, I went to a men's AA meeting when I was 19 years old. A parent brought me there, my stepfather, and it was the first time in my life I ever heard God. And I'll never forget that. I remember God smelled like cigarettes, black coffee, and cold chairs. That's what God smelled like. And I was like, this is amazing. And so I had dabbled with visiting 12-step rooms, but it wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I started to like visit them to get to know, like, okay, is there something there for me? And they were people programs. And to qualify, I do understand the beverage program and the food program. I'm very, very grateful for my sobriety, my celibacy, and my abstinence. I came in through a trauma group, actually. I was hearing folks share about the horrendous things that they had done due to trauma and how they were getting well. And I remember somebody saying OA, and I'm like, what? Like, what is that? And as a social worker who oversaw social programs, I was like, what? Well, I never heard of this before. I never heard of that. And I had worked at an eating disorder treatment facility, ironically, as a behavioral tech, never ever heard of a 12-step program for OA. So I had gone to four meetings. And I remember sitting there, and I think we probably had the big books. And I just remember with four women and myself in the back of a church, and I had gone to four meetings. And at one point, I must have known that there was a red light food because I knew at that time I could not have nuts. Like, I am crazy insane. That is my heroin. That is my kryptonite. That is my reason my liver and kidneys are still damaged bits is because of how much nuts I had put into my body, and the amount of protein and fat will hurt a person. And so I remember asking a nun was in this meeting, if she could throw out my nuts in the dumpster. And she looked at me and she said, honey, I can't walk that far. And she was in a larger body, and I remember her being like, well, can you watch me? Can you watch me as I like booked it for the dumpster? Now, I wasn't dumpster diving, ironically, but I was dumpster throwing, which was a big plus for me. So, not to skeeve anybody out, but my bottom line behaviors as a compulsive eater are effing sick nasty. Like, we're talking food underneath the refrigerator, crumbs. I thought, like, that's fine. I remember like almost like scolding a kid I had worked with that had special needs that she wanted to drink free Pepsi on the side of the road. Somebody obviously threw their free Pepsi out the side of the road, and she went, free soda. And I went, no, you can't do that. But my compulsive disease was like, that's a genius. I'm like a seagull. I take hostages. So I have never licked an inside of a garbage can. I can say that. I've never gone into a public trash can, but I've licked the inside of my microwave. I've stuck my head in mixing bowls. I have eaten things off the floor. I have cooked rotten seafood, not just for myself, but from my ex-fiance in his house. He did not appreciate that, especially when he was trying to sell his condo. How his whole house smelled like rotten seafood because I thought that was acceptable to make for dinner. My stomach's immune from uncooked chicken. Doesn't care. The amount of rotten cheese that I had eaten, like food is not supposed to be moldy, black, green, petri dish looking. It was free. I used to purposely cut off things in people's houses to make it look neater. I used to clean out their fridge, make it look all nice. Meanwhile, I was ingesting it. And I say this about the alcohol part because that logic of I can't let things go to waste, whether it was in a bottle or a bag or a plate, was when we would be have parties growing up, like when I was in college, if I saw a cup on the counter or a bottle on the counter, I'd be the first one up in the morning and I just drank everybody's. The
That's your
insane,
first 6 minutes.
the amount of sane sickness as you can imagine is nasty. So fast forward, of course I went on a crazy spiritual trip. I thought I could hike with my red light food. I brought jars of peanut butter with me when I went hiking, had a very spiritual experience, and went back out there. And I didn't come back to OA until 4 years ago. And 4 years ago on Labor Day, I got struck back in. And when I mean struck back in, I mean I almost punched out the eye socket of the man that I was living with. That's what I mean by struck back in, was God was either going to slap handcuffs on me and arrest me for a domestic because that's how angry I was, or I was going to go to OA. And it was my ex that had heard of OA that said that convinced me. Well, we were together at the time, in my kitchen, that said, like, we both need help. And he's just like, we both need to work our own programs, but we need help because we were literally going to go at each other's throats. And then the next day, we were supposed to go hiking. Now, I was a binger, restrictor, laxer. I was too proud to lose my teeth, way too proud to lose my teeth. I already have soft teeth in my family. I'm really surprised now I don't have like complete plates in my mouth. I have cracked teeth a lot, but I was bleeding out rectally when my ex had got me to come in because of how many years I had abused laxatives. And so thankfully my recovery is I don't have a colonoscopy bag. I have my own teeth in my mouth. My acid burns have healed from how much I would go through like the binging and restricting is that I would have really, really nasty acid reflux. And when he ever told me he wasn't ready to come to OA, I said, well, I am. And the man had to leave. And I said, because two addicts can't live here anymore. So I was very much there's no going back. There was no going back to hell. I could out eat, 365-pound men like nothing. And then run circles around them and, hike for 15, 14. I did a 14-hour hike before, a 14-hour hike. And I did that abstinent because of program. Before I would have taken a 14-mile hike and then gone and binged at the freaking grocery store in the parking lot. And a lot of my amends were to my dog because we would do the same hike together. And I would make her watch me eat like these insane amounts of, like, when I mean like whole carcasses of stuff and then like whole fruits, and then like be sick after. And meanwhile, she didn't eat yet. She'd be in the back seat and I would be looking at her like, what are you looking at? And the way that I would equivalent myself before program would be think of like the most nasty, vile, angry, alcoholic man that you wouldn't want around your children. And then add me. Like that's how, or like a dry drunk, like that's what I was like when I was trying to diet and control my weight. So my highest was at 162. I'm maintaining about a 130 right now. And that's like, I can exercise. So I'm going to talk about my recovery is I came into program like desperate, desperate. My ex was living in the other room for about 2.5 weeks. I told him he could stay for 3 months. Until he could like find his way to get out. And thank God he had money, he had resources, and he was out in 2.5 weeks. But for that 2.5 weeks, it was, I mean, talk about on your knees. I went into my guest bedroom, which is right across the hall from each other, like literally on both sides. And he kept the bedroom, and out went the furniture that I didn't buy. This is my house. Thank God I didn't have to leave with laundry baskets that I've done before. And I came in to Canaan, Connecticut, online Zoom meeting. This was during COVID, and I sat there, and my biggest fear was to be married to an addict. That's what we were fighting over. It was I was afraid that I was going to lose him. He wasn't taking care of himself. We were going to get married, and he was ready to propose, and I was just like, I can't do this. I don't want to be a widow. And wouldn't you know, God had humor. Four women in my home group were widows. Of course, God was like, well, your fear, yeah, you can live. So I do believe in the Cher song, "Do you believe in life after love?" Because the answer is yes, and there is life, and there is OA. And I got a sponsor within 2 days. I asked the woman. I hopped in on that Monday. On Tuesday, I was in a newcomers meeting. On Wednesday, I had a sponsor. And within, I think probably that Friday, started going on a Vision for You meetings in the morning. I was not a 90-day and 90-day person. I was a 700 and something something meeting person. I went to two meetings every day for a year and a half. And I did that because I had worked in residentials, treatment facilities, in intensive outpatient, community social work. And I worked in addiction. I worked at an addiction treatment facility that Bill Wilson had been to and visited his folks. And I still wasn't abstinent when I did all those things. So I knew if my options were either you're going to go sit your ass in inpatient,
That's your second 6 minutes.
or you're going to go get help. And so I got help. And the way that I work my program is that I work every tool every day. I have to. So maybe I just talk to an old sponsor and I send them a text message. I talk to my sponsee, and I have one sponsee at a time. Now, it doesn't mean that I won't help out with like the first 12 days of OA. It doesn't mean that I don't do service. It's just I burned myself by trying to do so much service, give myself away, put myself in poverty for many, many years by being like the martyr that the big book talks about. And so I just know that that's not possible. The way that I've worked my steps is I've worked my steps through the Big Book sponsor guide. I've worked the steps by reading the AA 12 and 12, the OA 12 and 12, by reading the working the steps that way. I've done the 12 traditions, which is really, really helpful in AA and in OA. And I've done the OA World Service concepts. But I will say this, because for the sake of this is a big book meeting, is that I use the big book as my like third language. I say my first language is Ebonics. I'm from downtown Waterbury. During the crack epidemic, it was hilarious. And then my second language is professional, and my third language is big book. Can I quote it? No. Sometimes. Can I use it as like the general baseline for any addiction that I can connect to somebody? Absolutely. Having the big book and having an unworking understanding of it has changed my life to be able to connect to people I would never be able to connect to before. It's like having a translator. And I live in a neighborhood where there's actually an old, it's called Old Town Road, Old Farm Road or something like that. And then there's actually a Wilson. And so I always talk to BWs when I'm walking. And I've done 10 steps of like being mad at Bill Wilson, wishing Dr. Bob was more. And of course today, like I opened up and in my big book right in front of me to Dr. Bob's nightmare. And then I flip forward and it's to like we agnostics. And the way that my higher power talks to me is very loud, very, very loud, very synchronistic. And I think of like just the nightmare that it was working as a provider sick, and to have empathy for Dr. Bob, to have empathy, like, you're helping other clients, you're helping other patients. Meanwhile, you're like concocting yourself to get through the workday. in the field that I was in, it was like celebrated. You know, it's perfectly acceptable to make yourself sick as a social worker because that's just the work that you do, and it's not okay. And I'm not afraid to talk about it. Most of my closest fellows in program are people like me or worked in education, where it's like, you know, this isn't an intellectual program. This is a spiritual program. And so I'm just going to read a little bit about what came up as far as just like literally touching the papers. So I have open on page 49 of the big book, and I have it underlined in the middle of the page. And it says, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists choose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and the ending of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't. And I'm telling you, I was a vain effer, like a vain MFer before I came into program. I really thought that having this double life was so important to me. And instead, I'm very proudly authentic. What you see is what you get. And that is one of my favorite compliments in my entire life that I will ever get, is what you see is what you get. And the second one, sadly, I hope not to live up to, but it was my ex, the one that I almost hurt. And he said, you know, if either of us were to go at it, and he goes, I don't know which one of us would have came out alive. And I was like, because I'm that scrappy. Like, I am a scrappy little person. And so I'm very grateful that because of this program, I'm not the horrendous, you know, person on the corner in the back of the, like some of the stories where, you know, somebody's getting a divorce and they're on the corner. I'm not sure if it was Mr. Jim, the story, but there's a story of a pharmacist, and he's, I think his wife's serving him papers, divorce papers, on a corner. And he blacks out, and next thing you know, like, she's got stabbed. Like, and I worked in domestic violence, so I kind of understand how that works. And I think about it, like, what this program has done for me is give me a life without violence to myself or others. That was not a healthy situation that I was in. And I wanted to get out of it, and that's where I could see myself getting that angry. I'm grateful that I have a voice because of this program. I'm grateful that I have safety because of this program. I'm grateful that we have rules. We have rules. I can step into any meeting anywhere and be a proud OAer and say, I understand the big book, and show up at another 12-step meeting or our meetings and have like a place to go to.
It's 18 minutes, Jackie.
That, thank you. That's something that God gave me. And I couldn't have asked for more presence for that. I'm grateful because of working these steps, like, I can let go, like, scary dark stuff. I'm very grateful that if, like, the fact that if somebody's not ready, they're not ready. And if somebody is ready, they'll go to any ends of earth to stay recovered. And I'm grateful that I don't have that ego anymore, that thinks like that God doesn't exist. I call people angry agnostics. I say they're angry agnostics. They're mad at God. And I call it, there's toucan God, toucan God. And toucan is, I'm gonna cuss you out, and I'm really grateful for you. And so you can put things in your God can, and you can put it in your F you can, like, I'm mad at you. And so toucan God. And then I think of the folks that are atheists, and I think of folks that, like, somebody that lost their hearing aids, or somebody that walks into a symphony and they just hear mute, where somebody else hears something. And I'm grateful that when I walk into any space throughout my life, the moment that I wake up my eyes is that I hear that symphony of like God talking to me, or God showing me things and showing me like a path today. That doesn't mean the food is the God, or the food is going to cure everything, or that other people are the reason for my suffering, or the suffering of the world is the reason for me to pick up and act out crazily. Like, I have tools to bring out my emotions, and I can be a better person because of that. And I love myself very fiercely. I'm not gonna lie. I'm adorable. Like my dog is more adorable, but I'm adorable. And I'm very grateful for this program that I can be silly and I can be serious and that there's a place for all of it. And with that, I pass. Thank you so, so much.